Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on OMF at 617-779-7937. Andy Hart fills in for us on Friday and pisses off a lot of the Patriots fans, which I appreciate. I like it. He wrote a piece in which he said that Jarrett Stidham should be a part of the 2021 quarterback competition, and then took it to the airwaves with Mutt on this very program on Friday.
The year two jump that we know Bill loves, right? How many times have you heard Bill talk about, oh, the biggest jump a player makes is from year one to year two?
With all sorts of positions, too. It's not like one position, it's everybody, yeah.
Everybody. But if there's one position that probably needs more seasoning than any, we can agree it's quarterback.
Yep.
So he loses that offseason and just so happens to be on a team that many of us had said as of March. We didn't need to wait until September, October, or November. Many of us in the spring said they have no weapons. They stink. Jarrett Stidham never got his chance to have the year two jump. So was he like a year two player last year, or was he kind of like a year 1.2 player? Bill's smart enough to know his weapons stink and his offense stinks. He didn't want to throw, potentially, he didn't want to throw Jarrett Stidham to the Wolves. And now he's got another year under his belt. He worked with a guy who maybe his skills are a little bit more similar to his, because I don't know if you heard coming out of high school, he was a dual threat quarterback.
I did. He was ranked ahead of Lamar Jackson as dual threat quarterback coming out of high school.
Boom. So now he's worked with a guy who's a runner and a thrower, theoretically. At least he still runs. He can't really throw anymore, but Jarrett knows how to run and throw. So he did all of that. We'll see. He did all of that. Is it not easy to foresee him taking that year two jump in year three? And oh, by the way, the team may be better around him.
I don't get it. I think he's right.
I was going to say, I agree with him.
Yeah.
Who's upset about that?
I mean,
I was waiting for something like, oh my God, I can't believe he said that.
Well, the boys put it out on a poll on Friday. Should Jarrett Stidham be in the running for the Patriots 21 QB situation? And it was dead even. Yes, slightly ahead. 51%, 49% no. So it was dead even. But he's under contract. They're going to bring him in. If they cut Jarrett Stidham, he won't get cut until the end of August, simply because they don't have a roster spot for him.
Do you have an issue with this, Lou?
Well, yeah, I do, because everyone that told us that there's a reason why Bill's not playing Stidham over Cam. I mean, he's giving you his answer.
Yeah, in 2020.
He doesn't think he's any good.
But 2021, who knows what happens?
So by the end of the year, like, he didn't want to throw him to the Wolves? I mean, they're out of the playoffs. If he liked him, if he thought there was something there, he would have played him.
Yeah.
I don't like your quarterback was playing at a high level.
You didn't think he was right.
But everything, but all year long?
Well, maybe it's going to take him 2.5 years. Andy is right.
No,
But
the quarterback position to me is different than a running back understanding the blitz scheme and tight ends maybe understanding what. I mean, it didn't take Gronk long. I mean, if you're good, you play.
What are you talking about? They changed the terminology on Cam. We already
heard
it.
If you're good, Bill would have played him, you know, not ready. I mean, year three, he's going to be ready to step on the field and play football?
I don't know, but I think you don't get rid of him right now. It makes no sense.
No, I'm not saying that. No, I agree with you. I mean, why would you just cut him?
A lot of people responded by basically saying, you know, he can't play, you get rid of him. You can't get rid of him. You bring him back and you hope that maybe, again, he's part of the competition. You let him compete. I think a big part of it, might have been what we were talking about earlier, Christian, and that is the personality, the stardom that is Cam Newton. The star is in personality is much better than actually what he brings to the table on the football field. And maybe this kid got intimidated by the fact that the star, the Superman, walked into the locker room.
Okay, maybe, but I still think that this had more to do with Newton and the devil that they know as opposed to Stidham, the devil that they don't.
Could very well be.
And I do believe that, of course, he's going to be in the mix. Of course he is, and he should. So do we really assume that the Patriots know exactly what they have with Jared Stidham based on practice?
No.
Yes.
No, they yes. would. They would have played him by now.
I don't know, but I don't know that
exactly.
This is not a guy that took a bunch of reps that earned a spot in camp or during the year. And even so, that Hoyer started the one game that he probably had an opportunity to start. So nothing. Here's the thing: I'm throwing out last year with Stidham altogether. I'm throwing it all out. This is the same guy that they cut Brian Hoyer for. So they only went into the season with Brady and Stidham. And then suddenly, like, all that's changed.
That's why I'm wondering whether he was intimidated. Then he had that injury problem.
So what, you can't bring in a decent quarterback? He's going to be intimidated by everybody? Like you know, I know Cam is a big personality.
No, shame on Stidham. No, Lou. Shame on Stidham.
No, but my point is I feel like Bill does what's best for the team. So it's not like, hey, you know, Cam's a leader. Cam's vocal in that locker room. The guys love him. I'm going to keep playing him, even though I think that this kid Stidham is better. I don't believe that. He would ever do that.
I believe you asked a question of Bill, and maybe more than one time. And I think Bill's answer was he felt that Cam Newton gave him the best chance to win.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
That's what he was saying. And that might have been accurate. So it might be that with Stidham, they see a great upside, great potential. They also see him screwing up. They also see him, you know, getting intimidated, freaking out at certain situations. Maybe that's all part of it. Now, can he grow out of that and reach that potential that they believe he has? He could. And that's why I think he is absolutely part of that mix.
Yeah, I don't know why people would actually get upset out of that.
I don't think you should get upset over it, but
they're a package deal? Newton and Stidham are a package deal?
So September, we're sitting there saying, Jared Stidham's your starter? How you feel about it? Good?
Well, I think I'll
depends.
Have...
What does he look like
I would
in the
say,
preseason?
Why didn't he play last year? Why didn't you give him the last four games? Like, you can't learn on the job? Like, I think those reps on a Sunday would help him develop in the offseason, go back, watch film, watch what he did that was wrong, if they really believed in him, and come back here a better quarterback this year.
So, wait, hold on.
The kid still hasn't played on Saturday and Sunday as a starter.
Do you believe, Bill, when he said... Cam gives us the best chance to win.
Yeah, it got to the point where I started to believe him. The point where, as frustrating as it was watching Cam Newton saying, okay, he's giving us the answer. Like, he gave me the answer. Jared Stidham isn't any good. He's seen him now for a couple of years.
Do me a favor. Okay. Give me an alternate reason why Jared Stidham wasn't starting. And give me something... Because I think that it's less to do with him not being a good quarterback and more to do with just how the team was built and the personnel that they had. So it was better and smarter for them. They didn't have a great defense. They didn't have a ton of, like, you know, impactful wide receivers. They had talent because they're in the pros, but it wasn't game-changing guys with this, you know, breakaway speed. So you were really dealt with dealing with situational football every single situation. Like, so it was better to punt than it would be to drive the ball down the field. You rather play a game position game with a good punter, a strong field goal kicker, and a defense that would bend but not break. Hey, you know what? As long as we can score 17 points, we think we have a shot in the end. I think Jared Stidham was would probably end up being too much of an unknown, like a wild card. He's going to throw some nice passes, but man, next thing you know, he's going to throw a pick. Like, Cam Newton was throwing the ball into the dirt, and he fumbled a couple times, but he wasn't, like, just an interception machine, because they didn't throw it anyways.
See, I'm not
so I don't know.
Yet.
I don't feel like a big deal.
I battled it all
deal.
Year last year, thinking, okay, I'm watching this. I mean, Bill's a very smart football coach. There's no question about it. Watching this week in, week out. And for him not to put the other kid in over Cam Newton, it was one conclusion. And, you know, by the end of the year, just kept beating it in our heads. Cam Newton was a better quarterback, gave him a better chance to win. And we saw what Cam looked like. So that told me everything I needed to know about Jared Stidham. It's been a couple years. You know, this is like, I know the quarterback jump from year two to year three, but that's usually guys that start. Like a guy like Josh Allen. Year one, eh. Year two gets a little bit better. Year three, boom. You know, he pops. There you go. Year three, Josh Allen. Got it. But a guy that sits for 2 years and think that year three's the jump? No.
Well,
no,
guys,
if he was any good, he would have been in there, especially when your quarterback was the worst in the league last year.
But there is a learning process through all of it, and Sam Darnold is an example of that. So Sam Darnold has had good games. He's had crappy games. He might have had the worst game I've ever seen a quarterback have in the history of the game when he played against the Patriots. So that's what happens with these young quarterbacks. They have potential, but they don't have a complete game yet. So, listen, I'm not sitting here telling you that he's going to be the quarterback of the future. I just think he's going to be in the mix, and he might end up being the guy.
So, he, you know, the thing with Stidham is that they wasted a draft pick on him. Now, he's a prime candidate for being cut before the season starts. He's a prime candidate
before the season, yes.
Yeah, make it through camp.
If they find two quarterbacks.
Okay, we were right, Lou. This is the real reason why we didn't start him, even though Cam was struggling. But because I would say, like, Bill was right. Because even when you look at their record, if I can pull up their record in 2020, just how they were playing, like, they were in, so they get smoked by the Bills. They were in that Miami Dolphins game, was in December. They get smoked by the Rams. They get smoked by the Chargers, man. But there was a 4 week, what did we see? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 week. 5 weeks where they were in every single game. 24-21 against the Bills. 30-27, they beat the Jets last second. Baltimore, 23-17, won that game. Houston, 27-20. Arizona, 27-17 in that game. And then they just start getting smoked. 45-0 to the Chargers. 24-3 to the Rams. They were never in that game. The Miami Dolphins, they're in it, 22-12, and then smoked. So I still think that they assume that they'd rather live by like 1,000 paper cuts, lose by 1,000 paper cuts, and then one big giant death blow.
It's possible, but
What Stidham, I think, would have been.
He's in the mix. I didn't find it outrageous, and apparently people were all up in arms with Andy. Maybe it's Andy. They just want to beat up
Andy.
Have
you seen his beard? He like the drunk troll from that Christmas movie with Will Ferrell. You know, at the very beginning of the show, of the movie, they're talking about why they use, you know, elves instead of like trolls. He's the troll drinking the beer at the beginning of Elf.
So Jeff Howe writes this today. Do you understand this? Bill Belichick and the Patriots, in pursuit of an upgrade at the position, have had conversations regarding every potential trade target in the league, according to sources. So far, the Patriots have been disciplined in their approach. They spoke to the Lions about Stafford and to the Eagles regarding Wentz, but the Patriots weren't serious contenders for either quarterback due to the asking price. Well, that's what we've heard already, that they weren't contenders because they weren't going to pay this type of price, correct?
What do you think that sounded like? And like, how's hey, it's Bill. What do you guys want for Stafford? Okay, bye. Hey, Philly, how you doing? It's Bill again. What do you guys want for Carson? Okay, bye. Like, unless you give them the player, like they're not going to entertain
it. This is a man's treasure.
A weird article. And sometimes I feel like, and I've seen a lot this offseason and in the past, that the Patriots organization have, like, Jeff Howe, like, chained up against a wall to give him 3 square meals a day.
Yeah, write a good,
you know, they bring him some water and, like, some food in a tin in a dungeon. And then, like, every other day they're like, hey, Jeff, we got an article we want you to write. All right, what? I want you to write an article saying how we're in on every single quarterback and we're looking to upgrade, and that we could possibly sign other free agents and possibly make trades and possibly sign a guy in the draft. But just let everybody know that we're still trying. Can you do that for me?
Jeff Sure. Rowe of The Athletic.
I'll waste some ink. Like, what is this?
How about this line, Lou? Patriots haven't ruled out the possibility of re-signing Cam Newton, but they have indeed explored the rest of the market before Newton becomes a free agent.
So the one thing that kind of makes you a little nervous, too, and it's, I guess you could say it's an overpay, but it is like the most important position in football. Do you think the Chargers overpaid for Wentz? I mean, the Colts?
The Colts.
A third and what we expect to be a first.
Yeah,
because you know, they're going to probably make their playoff team.
Do I think that the Colts overpaid for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, a third round pick this year and a first. Okay.
You like Carson Wentz, though.
Christian? No, but I mean, you think they overpaid for him?
Hold on, wait.
Based on what?
Based on, I don't think Carson Wentz, based on what I've seen over the last year, I don't think he's that good.
No, but go back 2 years ago.
We go back 2 years ago, he was very, very good until they got hurt. Yeah. Yes.
Now look
and
at his
since he got hurt. Since he got hurt, he's not been the same.
No, it's 4 years ago he got hurt, and he was an MVP candidate. Not last year, he sucked. The 2 years ago, I think he was 29-7. And, you know, he had, and a lot of his wide receivers are hurt that year, too. I don't think it's that much. And what makes me nervous is that Bill thinks he's going to get, what, a starting quarterback in this league for what? Like a second round pick? And a third, maybe? Because that's what he got.
Guys,
that's what he gave up for Jimmy G.
He's getting Jimmy G.
Yeah, but why? Carson
absolutely
Wentz.
Nothing. Or oh, see, he's getting
that's
Jimmy
the deal
G.
He wants,
no, no, no.
He's
just,
getting Jimmy G for a third or fourth round draft pick.
If I believe what Jeff Howe says, that there was interest in these quarterbacks, to me, this is an interest.
In the dungeon.
Like, it is an interest. Like, it's not like if you're interested in a starting quarterback and you make a call and say, hey, I'm willing to give you a third round pick for Matthew Stafford.
Yeah,
and
that's
like,
not
Bill,
interest. I'm
we've got
you.
Two firsts and a third. What are you talking about? Okay, click. Well, Patriots were interested. No, they weren't. No, because if you're not willing to pay what market value is for a starting quarterback in this league and you don't have one, I'd rather them just come out and say, you know what? They weren't interested in Matthew Stafford. They weren't interested in Carson Wentz. They're not going that route. Because why? Because they have a plan. But dipping your toe into possible interest from Stafford and Wentz tells me that you still really don't have a plan.
So here's what I would say about the Colts, and getting back to your point about the Colts. If the Colts could get Russell Wilson, or they could get Watson or somebody like that, that's the difference, I think, of the Colts being a cute little team and actually being a championship winner, contender, right? I'm not sure I take Carson Wentz, put him on that team, and suddenly think they are a championship team. Now, they could be, maybe Wentz. It reverts to where he was a few years ago.
Well, Frank Reich is there.
Yep.
And he had him before.
Yep,
now, this
he had him before.
Giardi had this on February 18th. Not that it comes to a surprise, but the Patriots had no real interest in acquiring Carson Wentz, per source.
What are you talking about?
Jeff Howe says that they did, but the asking price was too high.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I would rather them just come out and say, we have no interest. At least that would tell me, okay, we know what we're doing here. We have a plan. You know, or, hey, let's try to get Stafford. Okay, well, asking price is too high. Okay, let's try to get Wentz. Asking price is too high. Okay, now what? Like, are we already on option three?
Isn't the interpretation really subjective of the two different writers you're talking about? Because they really aren't serious if you're not willing to pay the asking price.
That's the point.
You're not really serious.
Right.
You know, you're sitting there going, we'd like, what's the price?
Red Sox
no,
would have
good.
Loved
no,
to have brought
fine.
Mookie
yeah.
Betts back.
Right, exactly.
But
right,
they weren't willing to pay what the free agent market was. But, so you weren't really interested
then,
were
you? So it's interpretation.
See, but what you mentioned, it's like, if they think Garoppolo is just as good as Wentz and they have the patience and discipline to wait, why would they jump both feet into Carson Wentz and giving up a bunch of assets when if they just wait, they can get a similar player in Garoppolo if they just were patient?
You're on plan C right now. That's what it tells me.
I'm more convinced every single day that it is Garoppolo. It's going to be Garoppolo because the 49ers are going to have to do something. They are a legitimate contender next year. And if they believe, and Kyle Shanahan truly believes, that the one thing that's preventing them from being that is the quarterback, they move on.
Yeah, listen to yourself. Listen to yourself.
Yeah, well,
that's
Bill
the guy
feels
you
differently.
Want.
Bill feels differently about him, I think. I think he has a different feeling about him. I think he looks at it as an upgrade over Cam Newton. Now, it may not be ideal, but it might fit into what you want. It could be you get Jimmy Garoppolo, and then you move up in the draft, Lou. It could be both things.
You know, you're going to use a lot of draft assets, capital, to get your backup and your starting quarterback? No, I don't want that either.
Well,
that's the worst case scenario.
He would be your bridge.
So Garoppolo
a
bridge
would
to somewhere.
Be bridge. You're going to get Garoppolo cheap.
Got a feeling we're on a bridge to nowhere.
Okay. 617-779-7937. Back to the phone calls coming up next right here on OMF.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ordway, Merlone, Fourier. Back to OMF on EEI.
Here's how someone in the organization explained it to me. They said, we're going to do what we always do, explore every option. Could be the draft, could be free agency, could be trades. And they feel like they're in a good financial position with the salary cap, that if the right opportunity presents itself, that they can pounce. There is one other thought from those around this situation, that timing is important for them to get a quarterback for the start of free agency. So if they're out recruiting a top receiver or top tight end, that player knows who might be throwing them the football. So that aspect part of this conversation as well.
That's Mike Reese. It all sounds good until you actually have to go and do it. So how do you do that? Do you bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick? Is that going to excite receivers out there? Is that what you do? Because who is going to be available right now? What are we talking about?
But reality, what is the biggest difference, okay, other than their style of play and their age and their, you know, just their, you know, what's the difference between the two? Really, in the end, the team is at a bridge stage. Either one is a bridge quarterback. Neither one is the answer. So both guys are just keeping the seat warm until help arrives.
So is any receiver,
so I really don't care.
Is any receiver going to get excited by any of those guys? What did Hunter Henry say this weekend, that he wants to go to a team that's giving him money and a team that has a good quarterback, right?
You got to look at it financially. I would be lying to you if I wasn't just like, you know, I'm not even going to look at the money or anything like that. I mean, that's part of it. That's part of our job and everything. But I don't think it's all about that, right? I think I want to play somewhere where there's a good quarterback. That's huge for our position. You know, it makes things a lot easier on that burden of things. So, you know, playing with a good quarterback always makes things better. But, you know, you got to look at both. You got to look at some of the financial stuff, but not dive too deep into it, that you go chasing it, because I also want to play with a good quarterback.
That's a nice way of saying it's not about the money, but it is about the money. That's what he was doing. But you got to have a good quarterback. Well, who can they get?
I took that as, you know, it's not all about the money. Yeah. I mean, obviously he's going to get paid, right? And we know he's going to get paid. He's not going to turn down, you know, a really good contract, but there's going to be two or three really good contract offers out there. And he's going to look at the quarterback position. And this is, I just feel like you're dwindling down of the type of player you're going to get here in New England, given your situation. You know, there's already talks, as we mentioned down earlier, about Godwin and Galladay, and now maybe even Allen Robinson. These guys could get franchise tagged.
That's going to be a big thing, I think, in this offseason.
And if they are,
the low cap number.
Now you're talking about, okay, who's the fourth, fifth, sixth best wide receiver, and are you on top of the list of a landing spot for those guys? You know, if Hunter Henry's looking for that quarterback, he's out. So then what? Jonnu Smith, like, what is he looking for? So the type of free agent that is willing to come here, to me, is that second, third tier offensive player that you're going to have to pay a little bit. Not a top tier guy. That's why I say if you're going to spend, it's going to be a defensive player. But Justin Hunter Henry, I don't think he's the only big time weapon, tight end, wide receiver that's thinking exactly the same way. I need a quarterback. So none of these bridges are going to bring any of these guys.
Okay, so the Hunter Henry is in a different. He's going to end up being one of the highest paid tight ends in the league.
Yep.
He probably will be the highest paid tight end.
So, I mean, of course he wants some, but he will. But if they gave him the option, $2 million less and a great quarterback, or $2 million more and an average quarterback, which one do you think he's taking?
He's taking the good quarterback.
He's taking $2 million extra dollars, and he's hoping he can, you know, eventually he'll catch up to a good quarterback.
But I'm not even sure that a player of that, if you're looking at each player at every position in free agency, the guys at the top of the list are going to get their money. And if you're going to get your money, you're also going to be able to select where you want to go, right? That's not going to be an issue. And that's why I think you're going to see so many of these guys franchised, because there are a lot of teams that are afraid to lose players. They don't want to lose players right now. So they'll lock in this free agency. So it's not going
to
be an issue.
Yeah, but that's
for him.
Financially, that's not the best way to go about it in a year where the cap restrictions are going to kill you. Right? I mean, you want to kind of do a 1 year $17 million tag. I don't even know what the wide receiver tag number is. 17, 18 million, probably in that range. You know, or a long-term deal where you can maneuver it and say, well, the year one cap hit's only 5.
Yeah, so
year two goes to 22. You know what I mean? You could, but, you know, so long-term deals are easier to keep guys, just given the financial constraints.
So I keep on reading that the guys that are lower down on the totem pole are the ones that are already on teams right now, and the Chargers were specifically a team that it was talked about. They have a lot of free agents. That they're going to restructure and do deals with those free agents and give them the money. When it comes to Hunter Henry, they're looking at franchising him because you can only franchise one player. He's the one that they're afraid they're going to lose, so that they franchise him.
Didn't they franchise him last year?
I don't know.
That's one reason why that's not going to happen. Right. But.
Well, you can't franchise the second
year. I know, but it's ridiculous money.
Yeah, you pay him more. You pay him more like quarterback money. That's what you end up paying.
They tagged him last year.
But Lou, I don't think you're off base when you're talking about, and Pro Football Focus had a list of the 50 top free agents and had none of them going to the Patriots. Now, their list is their top 50. Who knows whether that's an accurate top 50, but I do believe they're probably looking at it saying the Patriots are going to deal with it in a different way. They like to have a big middle class, and they're not going to overpay at the top of the spectrum. I think they had Tooney leaving the Patriots and going somewhere else. Cleveland, I can't even remember where they had him going. But so they've got players leaving the Patriots, but they don't have necessarily the Patriots picking any of those top 50. Does that surprise you guys?
It doesn't surprise me offensively.
No.
You know, when you said the top 50, who knows about their list, but I'm pretty sure their top 30 is everybody's top 30. You know, 35, then maybe the last 10 might be different on some people's boards. But offensively, it doesn't surprise me. It's 10 wide receivers. Doesn't have one single wide receiver coming here. It's just a projection. That means nothing to me. But I think it's kind of accurate because it kind of goes with the mindset. But I disagree in that because I still think they're going to open it up a little bit for a defensive player. Some of those top 50 defensive players, they're going to spend big time on one of them, whether it's edge rusher, whatever it's going to be.
A projection is, I guess, is it the same as a bold take?
No.
Is it a bold move?
No, it's a conservative take, because and you can go through the list, but there are a lot of guys that are getting franchise tagged on that list and staying with the team, or staying and working out a new deal with the team they're already on. So those aren't really bold predictions. Those are, you know, Will Fuller was one that I saw on there, and he was getting a lot. They were franchise tagging him because he was a guy that you thought would be in the Patriots realm, because he's not the top 5 or 6, but he's in that next list of wide receivers, and in that list they had him being franchise tagged by Houston. Okay.
That's 18 and a half, by the way, for wide receivers.
Yeah.
That's I mean, I would give him, and that's why it kind of...
He's not worth 18
Well, to
and
me,
a half.
It kind of goes against like the financial restrictions some of these teams have. You always talk about all these teams that like have to get rid of all this cap space and everything. The last thing you want to do, we've seen it with New England. They didn't want Tooney on that number. They didn't want Welker on that number. They want to work out long-term deals and lower that number for 2021, knowing that 22, 23, 24 might be better. So you'd be better off giving Will Fuller a four-year deal than tagging him for one.
Hey, do you guys trust Charlie Weiss?
Patriots. I don't know.
Really? Do you trust him?
No, I think he knows football, but I think he sees it in Patriots' eyes. I don't know.
I will tell you this. I don't trust anything that I'm hearing right now about Mac Jones, the quarterback at Alabama. I don't get it. Some people didn't even think he was a first rounder. Now suddenly people think he's in the top eight.
Cannonball.
Yeah, we'll get to it. It's coming up next right here on OMF.
Come on, Christian.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, I don't know who the gentleman, I forget the gentleman's name, Lulo, and then the other gentleman that was talking about him.
There's a couple things, a couple issues I have with that.
Mamona.
One, doesn't know anybody's name except Lou, which I'm not sure how. Like, his voice is recognizable.
I'm sure he got the name
and
right.
Then, and then we're both gentlemen.
Yes.
I'm assuming he was referring to me as the other gentleman, because it was something to do with Cam.
Name Lou O, and then the other gentleman that was talking about.
Wait, didn't he say your name? No,
the
Lou O. Right.
No, the Lou O.
The
Lou O, and then the
Lou O, and the other guy. Lou O, and the other guy.
No, the other gentleman.
Gentleman,
right?
Yeah,
that's important.
Oh, yeah, I think that's what he did say. Lou O, and the gentleman. You're the
Lou O, and then the other gentleman.
Oh, so
about.
Sorry. Lou O, the big O.
The other gentleman. I didn't pick that up the first time.
Okay, me neither.
Yeah.
Now, I thought he said Lou Malone. Like Carl Malone, but Lou Malone, and he just gave up.
I don't know.
I think it's Lou O and the other gentleman. I think I'm going to go with that. That makes sense.
Okay.
And why are you wearing a hat today? Is something wrong? Let's see your hair, by the way.
Is the hair growing back
yet? Coming?
No.
It's a little bit of a fuzz.
It's looking soft and fuzzy.
Ooh, you should water it.
You're almost, you know what? In about 2 weeks, you're going to be at the awkward stage where you're not going to be able to put all that gel in.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You know, and it's been 2 weeks
like
now, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
you
weeks.
Shower and it just kind of just everything just sort of pops out sideways. You know what I mean? So eventually, I got to cut the sides a little bit and kind of fade it
well,
up.
I saw the arrest picture this weekend of Johnny Damon. That hair is all over the place, huh?
How about Michelle going nuts?
Yeah.
Who went that nuts? Whole thing.
Johnny Damon got arrested. DUI,
yeah, I saw that.
Down in Miami, 1:23 in the morning. And
nothing good happened after the night.
Michelle, his wife, got a little bit handsy. With the police and, you know, started
I missed that part.
Yelling at her.
Oh, yeah.
She got arrested.
She got arrested.
Wait, please tell me she did not say, do you know who this is?
I think something about that. Probably. But how about Johnny when they described it, they asked me, do you have something to drink? And they said he put his finger out, a little pinch. She said, just a little? Like, I can envision the whole thing and doing it. But her going off on the cop didn't really surprise me all
that
much.
He blew a .30.
That didn't surprise you.
.30.
But he only had this much. He only had this much. And he wasn't drunk, and he said that. He was.
He only had this much.
We'll talk about it.
Well, you know what?
We'll talk about it down
the road. He's got a high tolerance.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. Technically, sure, his blood alcohol was high, but he wasn't drunk.
But she can get hot. She can get hot.
Really?
Yeah. I can see,
I tell you what,
she put her hands on the cop.
Was she the one that was with him on the penthouse at the Ritz that was throwing, like...
This is where I stopped talking about you.
I love things off the balcony. Yeah,
I love him. I thought bad. He made a big mistake.
I remember that, Lou.
Made a big mistake, and, you know...
It'll be in the book, though, right, Lou? It'll be in the book.
Yeah.
Friendship shot with first names. If you know that movie, you know that movie.
I don't know where that guy was.
What is the infatuation with Mac Jones? Did either one of you guys think that there was anything there that you suddenly... I mean, you watched Trevor Lawrence, and yeah, I even watched his pro day last week, and it was pretty impressive when you watch him. Did anybody watch Mac Jones and come out of there and say, wow, this is the next great quarterback?
I'll say, yeah, I think last week you started going through names, Christian. I think last week, Glenn, you were off, and all the quarterbacks, would you be interested? You said Mac Jones, and I said yes. Because it's that philosophy of identifying a college quarterback and taking him. The more I thought about it, it's like, no, I mean, I've kind of been going against that the whole time. Like, he and this guy, kid Kyle Trask, like that type of quarterback, sitting in the pocket, not an athlete, not running for any extra yards. And, I mean, Mac Jones, you're telling me, if you had questions about Tua, given the team he was surrounded by him, I mean, aren't you even more so concerned about Mac Jones? Two first-round wide receivers that could be gone by the time you pick.
Yeah.
One of the best running backs in college football. Their offensive line is going to be in the pros. Like, yeah. Good God.
Center.
Talk about being surrounded
tackles,
by
one guard. Yeah.
I know, but there is something there. Okay, so what is the biggest difference? I contradict myself, but I'm saying this. Because I look at these Alabama quarterbacks, and I say, you can't really judge them. You can't judge them. That's too easy. Every throw, like, they're obviously good passers, but you can't really judge them because everything's a winnable. Even the tough throws are caught because the receivers are so good at the 50-50 balls. But then you go over to Clemson, and you go to Trevor Lawrence, and you go to all the skill position players he has, the offensive line he has, the backs that he has.
Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow. Tua. I mean, you can't, like, to me, so what are you really looking at then?
Well,
the guy's
Trevor Lawrence
accurate.
And Mac Jones is a difference in that Trevor Lawrence is a lot bigger, and he can run. He can run.
Okay, overrated.
What's overrated?
I think the
running is overrated.
Mac Jones can run. He's basically got a modern-day version body of Tom Brady back from 2001 or 2000, whenever the hell he was drafted.
Yes.
He's just thicker. He's a little chubbier. You know, Tom was like, you know, concave chest, just pale as can be. That's Mac Jones. He's a little bit thicker.
So the Patriots took Tom Brady in, the sixth round because the body shape was a little out.
He was
He ran a 5'2".
He ran a 5'2". I guess my point is when Charlie Weiss is, you know, glowing over Mac Jones, I mean, they're all accurate quarterbacks.
He says, what is the two most important components of a star quarterback? They have the it factor. Until they actually play, and then suddenly you add two letters onto it. They're accurate. That's who he was. You talk about being around good players. Yeah, he was around good players, but playing on a team with a bunch of stars, who was the leader of the offense? He also has to make all of those throws. I think the kid is an excellent quarterback. He has less holes than just about anybody.
Okay, so hear me out on this one. I do think there is some... I don't know. I think there's this stigma attached to Mac Jones based on where he went and the fact that he can't run and he's not physically gifted. Like, he doesn't look the part. Like, Trevor Lawrence, flowing blonde hair, 6'5", rocket arm, national champion. I mean, you just name it. Tons of awards. The guy was a perennial number one draft pick his sophomore year in school. Now here comes Mac Jones, who never started until this year, has this unbelievable cast, has a COVID year, and the guy breaks tons of records with an unbelievable... He has the Heisman Trophy winner as his wide receiver.
So, yeah, and the other wide receiver was projected to be the Heisman before the season started.
He gets hurt. He comes back, and then he ends up playing decently. But he's they're all first-round draft picks. So
that's why this is to me it is risky.
I just think there's some I know, but what's the difference? So if Trevor Lawrence is being put on this pedestal for his accomplishments with all his great weapons, why wouldn't Mac Jones have the same kind of luxury?
You think it's fair because of just the history of Alabama quarterbacks? Like, you know, Jalen Hurts was good there, went to Oklahoma, he was good. And right now people in Philly not sure what the hell he is. Tua, I don't know. Who's some other quarterbacks come from A.J. McCarron?
A.J. McCarron.
Another one?
Yeah, that's been the best.
When
backup quarterback.
When Charlie Weiss says, you know, he also had to make all of those throws. Like, he's the leader of the offense. Sure, he's the quarterback, and he had to make those throws. I would think scouts would look at it and say, how many tight throws did he make? Like, in a window. Like, is he just throwing, you know, just... You see some of the reps early on in camp when it's just a one-on-one, just a wide receiver in a corner, and a wide receiver always beats the corner. And they're making these throws, and the guys are wide open all the time. So can he make the tight throws? Or is two best wide receivers in football always open? And they have the best running, one of the best running backs in football that creates it even more.
Well, hold on real quick. You know who's a good comp? Is Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow had to transfer.
Same thing.
Played a little bit in his junior year, okay? And then his senior year, his last year.
He had talent.
He had tons of talent. Yeah. And it transferred, though. It transferred.
Junior year, they had injuries on that team. Yeah.
I know, but the point is, but his skill set, even because that was my thing. Oh, look at all these great players they have. I know, but I mean, okay, so fine. So he's not Josh Allen. I mean, so Drew Brees doesn't run.
How many teams, though, look at it and say, you know, the future of the NFL is a guy that can run? You know, whether it's Trey Lance or some of these other guys, Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, I just think they look around the league and say, that's the future of the league. And whether, you know, Mac Jones is obviously rated a lot higher than, say, Kyle Trask, but both of them are just big guys sitting in the pocket making passes, and they're like, you got to be too fine. Our offense is to be too fine with that. You know, now it's all about precision now. I can't get out of the pocket. I can't create things. I don't know. I think some teams might be looking and saying, we're just not interested in that guy.
So what I want to find out here is, how is it that suddenly Mac Jones is a hot commodity here in the draft? So this is Mike Tannenbaum this morning on your favorite show, Get Up, Get Down, on ESPN. And listen to where he believes that Tannenbaum is going to go.
Mac Jones, University of Alabama, his floor is number 8. Carolina Panthers, go back to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Matt Rhule loved him. It's no secret they're looking for a quarterback. So Mac Jones' floor in this year's draft is number 8. A lot of speculation about New England. If New England, Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, if they have conversations and that goes well, New England's going to have to get above 8 to go get Mac Jones.
The point you're making is Mac Jones is going higher than people expect him to go, yes? We talk about him as the 5th quarterback in this class.
Absolutely. His floor is 8, and even if Carolina takes Deshaun Watson in a trade, somebody will trade up for Mac Jones.
Wow. Come on, get up. Well, he's got a lot of quarterbacks going in a hurry there.
Okay, I just...
Is Bill going to move up if he likes him from 15 to 8 to get Mac Jones?
He better be. If for him to move up, the guy's got to be special beyond special for him. And I don't know.
I got a hard time being upset about that, though. Because it's what I want him to do.
Moving up to 8 for Mac Jones?
Well, it's what I want him to do. Ooh. I don't know. And I would trust Bill and Josh McDaniels to watch this guy and like him. I don't think he fits the mold. I'd rather see him trade up for one of the other 2 or 3 guys. But if they did, and I'm sitting there calling for them to go get a rookie quarterback and trade up in the draft, I don't know how I can be upset at that.
All right, talk about having the total opposite view. This is Mike Rodick. He was on from Alabama.com, used to be here, beat writer covering Alabama. He was on this weekend on WEEI.
Would you think he was worthy of the 15th pick in the draft?
No. I think the tough part for him is that he might be being elevated a little bit higher than where he should go. And I think that top half of the first round should be reserved for the guys like Mahomes, those sort of quarterbacks who can, when the play breaks down, make those ridiculous sidearm throws that we see out of Mahomes, run around and just make things happen in a way that other quarterbacks can't. Mac's not that quarterback. You can still be a pretty good NFL quarterback, and there's a lot of good quarterbacks who have come in that range, and they're just a little bit different from a talent standpoint. So, yeah, I think he is getting pushed a little too high. I guess to bring it back to the Patriots, they are in a tough spot in the sense that they got that high pick, which they haven't had in a while. But if you're looking at Mac, you're taking a little bit of a risk right there. And if I was them, I'd rather take him at 20, 25, 30. Then there's the old adage that, you know, if you like the quarterback, just take him wherever. I don't know if that's what Bill lives by, but that might be, if they really like him, that might be what they have to do.
I go by him.
A little difference from what Tenenbaum.
I mean, he watches him.
So, okay, so the biggest difference is that, so, I mean, he broke all of Tua Tagovailoa's records.
Yeah.
Alabama with two of the best wide receivers.
And then
we've seen in
a also threw more than Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts has started in the NFL. He actually pushed out Carson Wentz. Tua, we saw a quick little taste of what he was capable of doing. I mean, the guy can run. So using it as, hey, the first round is that first 10 picks is only for guys like Patrick Mahomes. Well, good freaking luck. You'll never get that guy. I feel like running is overrated. I feel like it's overrated. If you Brady doesn't run, can we say he's not Drew Bledsoe? Like, he's not Dan Marino back there? I mean, there is a difference between Dan Marino and, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Why can't you be somewhere in the middle? Like, why does it have to be, you know, Olympic, you know, elite speed? You know what? Just can we run it? Can you run a 4.8? That's all I don't need you to run for 80 yards a game. That's not who you are. I do. There's this whole, I think, this perception that if you can't run the RPO, you can't play in the league. Just don't run it.
I just wonder where it's going to be in 5 years. You know, where the league was 5 years ago. And you started to see a little bit more of it. And then next thing you know, it's like everybody sort of takes off. You know, now these athletes running this RPO all of a sudden become better passers. And, you know, Josh Allen is probably the example. You know, Lamar Jackson is the example of, you know, well, I don't know if he's ever going to throw the ball well. We'll see. But I just think if we talk about the difference between Cam Newton helping your team win compared to Jarrett Stidham. So Cam at least gave you a running aspect of it, right? Third and short, goal line, whatever. He could run different offenses with Cam Newton. And I think if you had just a passer out there, now it's a lot harder. Now you need the weapons out there, you know, the pocket passer. You need those wide receivers and tight ends. You know, and there is no goal line, you know, running a guy like Cam or third and five, roll out, and if it's not there, take off for the first down. I just think, like, offensive coordinators look at it and say, if I got a guy with legs that can move, we can work on his passing ability, we have a better chance of moving the football. You know, I'm not pigeonholing myself into needing great wide receivers, needing great tight ends, because this guy just sits in a pocket and slings it.
Right, and that's why Trevor Lawrence has such an obvious leg up on Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Because the other quarterbacks we're talking about in the first round, one guy didn't play at all this year.
I mean, the guy, Trey Lance at North Dakota State, didn't even play, right? But,
no.
But he runs. And yeah. He's better than the quarterback who's the best team in the country.
Right. It's the skill set they're looking at.
Yeah.
And looking at the potential of the skill set. So I'm looking at the mock drafts and where they have Mac Jones. And Tannenbaum may be onto something. It might be that Matt Rhule, and that's what he's doing. He's connecting the dots, really likes this kid. And so Carolina at number 8, because I'm looking at Pro Football Focus, has him at number 8. USA Today has him at number 8. Oregon Live has him at number 4 going to Atlanta.
Jesus.
But everybody else has got him 13th, 19th, 28th, 20th, 28th, 20th, 12th, 19th, all easily attainable by the New England Patriots, even if they move down in the draft.
See, if that's the case, then it should be Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, and then Mac Jones. Which, I mean, listen, he wouldn't be the first quarterback to be on a national championship, unbelievably gifted team to not be drafted first overall or be the first quarterback picked. Like, they just, I feel like some scouts almost devalue the quarterback's ability based on the talent that they have around him. Oh, man, the deck was always stacked in your favor. You always had a 20-point lead. You know, you were throwing your first-round picks were going against 19-year-old guys who had never been in college football before.
Yep.
Trying to cover guys that run a 4-3.
Plus, oh, yeah, you had a pretty good defense to build your
You always had the optimal field position,
yep.
too.
Yep, exactly. All right, 617-779-7937. Celtics might have had the worst loss of the season.
Again.
Was it? And why again? We'll get to it coming up in the final hour of OMF.